Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Personal Branding Secrets with me, Ash Borland, personal branding coach, helping you build an impactful and profitable personal brand business. Today, we've got an awesome guest for you. To be honest, I think we've got a guest that normally they have the fancy intros. This guy has got more energy than I have ever seen, I'm an actor. I've got friends here on theater, and this guy's energy literally bounces out of the screen. And so I'm super stoked to have him on. We're going to run the intro. This guy is called Owen Video. He doesn't need any other intro than that, because this guy, like, honestly, he's going to, you'll just see, just watch. And I haven't brought him on. Look at that. I was too excited dancing to my music. Hello, Owen.
You know, like, I wonder what I'm going to do with an intro like that. I'm down here. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the Ferris Bueller intro where I'm like, hey, Ash, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. You know, like, and I'm debating all these things, but it's so good to be here. I appreciate that intro, and I'm pumped, and I'm ready to chat about our favorite things today.
Mate, it's an honor to have you on. I'm super excited. I've been watching your live streams. I've been watching everything that you do. I'm a native LinkedIn user, so it's great because no one watches on LinkedIn on anything. So I could jump on there. I'm like, I can comment and you can actually see it.
Yes, and you get, like, you know, that firsthand front row seat sort of attention, because when we're on, you know, when we're inside of Restream and we're broadcasting this whole studio, we can see the chat from all the different platforms come up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you never see LinkedIn. So when you see LinkedIn, it's like, oh, like, love on that LinkedIn guy. So that LinkedIn algorithm goes off. People watch it, more and more people on LinkedIn see it. And then we connected, you and I, even on like Instagram, and had some conversations there. And it's just like, oh, this guy is like in the space doing the work. And so, like, it's great to find people like you out there, you know, in the world.
It's great to have people like you, mate. That's why we're having you on. So before I dive in and give me all the credit, which is amazing. I mean, mate, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, I know where I want to take it. You're from my outside looking in, you're a beast on pretty much every platform. Put out high energy content, you're live streaming, you're TikToking, you're doing everything. Give us a bit of a kind of cliff notes over here, a small, short version of who is Owen Video, what do you do, why do you do it? And we can dive into the nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah. So I'm Owen Video, and I'm a YouTube coach. I coach mission driven entrepreneurs in starting a YouTube channel. And it's more than just social media. It's more than just editing a video, right? It's your media presence. It's how do you craft your message in a way that's quick? How do you capture someone's attention? And then how do you, like, present yourself in a way to where the viewer is at home looking into your eyeballs on this screen, on this TV screen, you know, computer screen, phone screen, and going like, man, I want to connect with that guy, or I want to connect with that person, whatever the case might be. And so we've been behind the scenes building some of the biggest YouTube channels that most of you have heard of, millions and millions of views. We've sold millions and millions of dollars in product from the different things that we do. And I even do a little bit of my own content. I do some comedy on TikTok. I think that's my heart. That's where I want to be. That's what, like, fuels me, you know, is doing a comedy with my kids. But we also have a YouTube channel at the videomarketingschool.com where we teach what we do to the entrepreneur community.
You also do something with Alexa, don't you? The Amazon Alexa channel.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, that's right. We, you know, that's kind of a side project that, you know, I love Amazon Alexa and home automation. In fact, our whole business is, like, full of these automations. And I wanted to teach that, but without, like, you know, you got all these ideas. And if I want to start a channel on this, I want to start a channel on that. And because our house is set up like the Truman Show, there's cameras everywhere. It's like, well, why don't we just, like, sit down at the white table and do some Amazon stuff every now and then? And that's, you know, I busted out like 10 of those over a weekend, and I'm just going to let them run.
Good. My wife watches them all the time. So it's brilliant, because my wife is obsessed with a newborn baby. Alexa has been the game changer. Every plug socket works from it. And I saw you on a live stream, and you mentioned Alexa.
Yeah.
And then obviously set off every Alexa in the house. And then my wife is like, and she was listening. She went, what's the name of that channel?
I love that. I love that. That's like the best part of being in the game. But the hardest part is, like, balancing, you know, like you've got eight to 10 hours in a day or whatever it is your work day is. And you know, it's like, what am I going to do today? Am I going to focus on the thing that brings me the 80% or the thing that's going to bring me the 20%? I think of, you know, what we do is a lot like cryptocurrency investing, where it's kind of like you don't put all your money into it. But yeah, sure, I'm going to put away some over here and save up for this. And that's what the Alexa channel is. That's like my retirement plan in a way. You know, it's like we're going to put a couple drops into the bucket. It re-energizes me. No one's accountable to me. Like, I'm not accountable to anybody over there. There's no like deadline to make or whatever. I order a $20 product. I review it, you know, and I put it on the web. But in 10 years, you know, this channel could be a big channel. They're sending me free stuff. I'm getting brand deals. And so we, you know, as coaches, as a coach of YouTube channels, you know, I also invest in YouTube channels as a future business that will generate AdSense and revenue and brand deals for years to come without me having to actually be in the videos. So it's a whole thing.
Well, that's the thing I was going to ask you, though, where you're going with that is it must be interesting knowing what you know and building these channels, because I can imagine. I was working with a guy who's an online course creator. That's what he does. He helps businesses refine their online offers. And he was saying the issue is when you know how this stuff works, you can see gold everywhere. And yeah, I can imagine with you, and that's probably the hardest thing. It's not about, you know, how many people probably come to you with YouTube and go, I don't know what to do. And you're literally like, I know how to do it all. And the problem is, there's not enough. Which one do you pick? You know, which horse do you bet? That's it must be a hard thing.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, with our audience, who the mission-driven entrepreneur, you know, tends to have a track record. And so I firmly believe in Pareto's principle, right, which is the 80-20 rule. And so you got to come to me with like, what is going to fuel that business, right? Because nobody comes to me saying like, hey, I want to work more, right? They're coming to me. They're saying like, hey, I want to like kind of like get this YouTube thing moving so that my business grows. And I'm literally making a video a week, and then I'm getting leads from it, right? I'm getting business from it. And that's entirely possible, you know? And the question is this: we go through a process with them of like, you know, who is your customer, you know? And a lot of times these guys will be like, everybody, man, like we're going to like, it's like this and like, it's like that. And I have to get, you know, really refined and go, okay, but at the end of the day, if a 55-year-old single woman hears this, is that the person you're trying to reach? You know, no, I guess it's more like the what, like the married male, you know, two kids under 10 years old. It's like, ah, now we're getting down to who it is that you, yes, everybody's a prospect, right? But at the end of the day, your bullseye is this very specific group of people. And then that becomes your 80%, right? And so now what we're doing is we're building a channel that uses the words, the colors, the even the dress, meaning like what you wear on camera is designed to appeal to that main demographic. And when you do that, all the other distractions sort of go away. You look at your camera, you think about that person you're speaking to, and now all of your videos reflect that. And that's, you know, get that going. Get an extra 10 grand a month going. And then we can talk about the Lego channel you want to build with your kids.
I love that. And do you know what? Like, I could dive deep into, though. It just, like, so many points you raised there. The thing, me and my wife talk about it a lot. My wife's into all this stuff as well. And she says about, my podcast just ranked in top spot for personal branding. I was super excited. And she
congrats,
said,
that's awesome.
Which is, that's good to do. And she went, because obviously, you know, gender marketing, so like the brain type of gender marketing. So, you know, utopian brain versus achievement brain. And she left, and every other person on the thing is on the, in the kind of the charts is a female, and it's pink, and they're on the cover. Yeah,
there you
go. And she left, and she went, she said, that is an example of gender marketing. Mine just has personal branding secrets in red, like bold, and a microphone.
You and I are similar. Like, our fonts are similar. I'm black, red, and white, you know. And my target is males. My target is, now, we, that's not to say we don't serve the female community, but we have some really I think fantastic women in our program. But it doesn't, that's 20-30% of the program. The other 80-70% is male, and that's where we landed after me being who I am, right? And doing the kind of thing that I want to do. Now, we launched a podcast yesterday for a wellness doctor in Salt Lake City, and he does all natural cancer therapies and autoimmune therapies. And that audience is a 35 to 55 year old middle class mom is sort of the verbiage that we're going with. And that graphic design is a little bit softer. It is targeting more in that color line with the male bent to it, because it is a male doctor, right? So it's like a green and these natural tones, still very earthy. But it's a different way of following the same principle, right? Whereas we know who our audience is. We know who it is that we're trying to reach, and then we're trying to reach them. We're not going out with a spray gun, right? And trying to hit everybody, because what happens is you just have this muddled message where it's like, you're a person who fixes things for people, or you do stuff for folks. You know, like, you got to be like, you've got to be in a place where you're like, welcome to the channel where we help new plumbers get 10 new customers a week for life. And in today's video, we're going to talk about XYZ or ABC. And so that person, I've been a plumber for years. I don't need this. Unless you're a plumber that's not getting that kind of new business, in which case you're like, I want that. And so using who you are to build a brand is essential.
Oh, I love it. And that's one of the reasons why you're on the show, is that it's funny because, as I said to you, I stumbled across your content through stumbling across Nick's content. I didn't know
you,
but what I loved, that when you were saying this off air, what I loved about that live stream was when there was all of you on the screen, it was literally like a shopping cart. And I was going, you're all great at what you do, but I really like Nick's moody lighting.
Yeah.
And I wish I could do that. I don't know how you did that. And then with yours, I was like, I like this guy's energy. I like this guy's colors. I like this guy's. And then that's the thing. And then you appeared on Live Streaming Pros, and there's silly little things where I was like, this guy is popping out everywhere to me. Now, would you pop out to my wife? Probably not, because she can't stand my office studio.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's too much. So dark. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And then the thing that really stuck in my head with yours is your microphone didn't work, but it did work, but it was just...
On Luria's show? Look, yeah. I love Luria. Luria and I go way back, but that was not my fault. Like, everything works. And it's just because we're both pros. We're both total pros. And so I'm like, I'll get there. I'll be there in plenty of time. My stuff works. I had just done a live stream, but she's the host of the show. you can't be, and Lori, I'm so sorry if you're hearing this right now. And I told her this, I'm like, this is not my fault. Like, but that's the thing, is that that's a great audience, because those are live streaming experts. Yeah. Like, here I am on this show. My name is Owen Video, you know, and my audio doesn't work. And you're just kind of like, wonderful. Thank you. That I'll tell you that, like, here's the thing. So many opportunities there. Cause it's like, number one, it's like, how did you handle it? And there were people in the audience that were being rude. They're like, oh, who really? Is this guy? And who's this?
It's YouTube, though.
Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, like, I'll take your views compared to my views any day, pal. You're real tough behind a comment area, aren't you, pal? Let's look at your studio, bro. You know what I mean? But I'm venting. But here's,
I like it.
You get like these opportunities, right? So it's like, how did you handle it? How did you handle being chided by the audience? How did you handle not having a mic and like you can't really participate? And then, like, how do you handle coming back from that and like getting the show back on balance? There's like so many opportunities there that you get to learn from. And I've been in that situation before, where there's a tech problem and there's things going on. The more you go through these issues, right, the stronger your presence is, and the more people get to see like what you're made of. Yeah. And I think that really goes a long way with people to say like, I heard this guy, the host did this and that, and it was a horrible thing. And then they flipped it and it was awesome. And that's, you really ingratiate people to your content in that way.
It's the reason why I remembered you. That sounds so silly, but it was one of the reasons, because, and that's why, like, I just brought that up. It sounds really random, but it's because obviously the whole thing with this is about personal branding and standing out.
Yeah.
And the reality was I'd followed you from Nick's thing, but then you were on that show and I was like, great. And then I saw you, I was watching, I was like, bloody hell, this guy's dealing with this.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and I was hooked to see, okay, how's he gonna, because obviously being in this space and going like, in like content creation space, what I was like,
you?
There is nothing worse than that happening. Like, nothing worse. And I was thinking, he's live. What the hell? This is gonna be.
I know.
And then I saw your photo on Instagram. And at that point, I was like, and then this is the thing I talked to you about increasing brand touch points, is by that point, then I knew who you were. So by that point, I was like, your name. So a negative thing there's no such thing as a negative situation if you can turn it into a positive situation. And right. It was such a spot. I loved it.
And so one thing go ahead. That's a mindset you have to have going into everything, right? Is like, you know, we just got off a call with our team on I'm going to be doing a live show next week on location. And that's very risky because hotels have usually crummy live streaming, Wi-Fi speed and all these different things. So the whole thing is what's the backup, right? And that's one thing my team is, they were like blown away by that. I said, but what's the backup if my phone fails or if the internet fails? Like, we have to have a guest on the show who can also double as a host if my service gets cut. And they're like, I didn't even think about that. And it's like, you have to like, I pride myself on having backups for backups. So that the audience experience, I never want the audience to see the fourth wall. I want my shows to be an escape for you, you know, in a certain way. That doesn't mean you don't see the behind the scenes. Sometimes you do. And that's, I think, the value of the show, like the bloopers in essence. But I always try to protect the viewer from the roughness of behind the scenes so that the experience for them is as optimal as it could be.
It definitely is. You can see that. Like, and I would definitely say that's something that you keep appearing. That's what I was going to kind of segue into. You are appearing all the time as someone who live streams. I live stream every day on LinkedIn, purely because I record my podcast and why not.
Good.
But you are very much at the epicenter, you and, you know, the guys at Live Streaming Pros, at Laurier and people like that, you guys are the epicenter of live video.
Yeah.
Kind of really, I would say you're it's really just you lot who are really delivering it. Obviously there's people doing it, but who are delivering it on a high quality professional,
sure,
higher than most people's pre-recorded video.
Yeah.
What's your take on live stream? Well, where do you think it's going to go? I've heard a couple of people talk about this, and I know it's a bit broad question, but that this seems to be the new frontier for a lot of people, they're not optimizing it the way they should or using it. What's your, as someone who uses it all the time, what's your kind of take on live stream?
Live stream replaces editing a pre-recorded video. Now there is a little bit of time replacement there, because instead of editing a video, you know, what you're doing is you're prepping a live stream. But even with prepping a live stream, you're going to do that once to get the show off the ground, and then maybe like, you know, 20 minutes prep before every show. Yeah. So it's a really good use of your time. And if you hire a live stream producer, then they do all that prep and you're just outsourcing it. So what happens is live stream enables you to kind of like get high quality shows out onto the web that builds a library that can be used to not just attract clients, but build your brand. They can be embedded in websites. And we, you know, leverage our live stream shows as opportunities to work with brands. And we have a phenomenal show every Monday with Restream.io. And you can check them out at epiclivevideo.com. They sponsor that show. They've seen my shows and they're like, we want our name attached to that. And so imagine having these vendors that you work with. I don't care if you're a bookkeeper or if you're a fitness coach or whatever the case might be. You have a software or an app that you work with every day. You refer your clients to. You probably have many of these things. And you can easily reach out to their PR team and say, how about, you know, I'm going to do 12 episodes and we'll put your name in front of it all. Right? And there's a charge for that. They give you $5,000 for that, or they give you $10,000 for that. I mean, it kind of depends on the way you present it. But I'll tell you this. That app or that software or that merch company, that clothing company that you're thinking, maybe they're meeting in their marketing meetings going like, how do we leverage live video? How do we get on YouTube? And they have no idea. And then when you approach them with like, I'm going live on YouTube once a week, they're like, oh, that's exactly what we've been looking for. I've seen this, you know, 100 times. So that's the opportunity in live video. Is it's a better use of your time. The other part of that is that it live video trickles down into everything else that you do, right? So like, we're doing this live show right now. And I'm sure that you're doing this in some way, shape, or form. When I do my live shows, I take notes, and it like right now it's 10:22 my time. So I could say 10:22. My editor goes 22 minutes into the footage, grabs a 1 minute clip. Yeah. And then I can turn that into a square video for Instagram, and I could trickle that into a Facebook ad. I could put that into my email marketing list, whatever the case might be. But it's this live video first mentality that gives you this long form content that then trickles down and fills up the rest of your social media so that you, as the seven-figure entrepreneur, you are putting in what? An hour a week to your marketing? And then you have a team that is sort of like doing all of those things for you. And if you don't have a team yet, that's okay. There's lots of softwares that can do this for you. But that you're going to get a bigger investment, a bigger return from that strategy than from scrambling around, trying to write a Facebook post, trying to write a blog, trying to hire a blog writer, and like doing all those different things.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's exactly what I do. And it was, I was doing this. I've been doing that strategy of like going live, doing that, record the podcast as we do. When I stumbled across your content though, that changed the game. I'm going to be honest with you and Laura, because it was like, okay, you could make full productions. You know, just bought an A10 Mini, just bought all of those things where you're like, actually, if you put, and what I've noticed, and it's changed in the last 5 months of kind of consuming your content, I do the same thing. I have a notepad here.
Yeah.
But it makes me laugh because I said to people before, you put the prep at the beginning. And also there's a bit more of a financial upfront. You know, you buy the right type of equipment that allows you to switch and allows you to do that. You reduce that friction. All of your video, I'm guessing most of your videos that I've watched are live. I can tell they're live because of the way you are, the way you look. And when you know when someone's live, if you know.
That's our thing. Like even my pre-recorded stuff, like we try to do it in a one take scenario because it's when you get like the purest Owen. You know what I mean? And that I think is important. You know, what you're saying about upfront investment is key, but it's also way easier now than it was. Yeah. You know, like I actually have equipment that was top of the game. It's still better than everybody's stuff except for Nick and Luria. Like that. Okay. So, but in my mind, it's 2 years old, but it's still very, very high quality stuff. In that 2 years alone, right? Luria's business has branched off and she's upgraded her gear, and Nick has changed locations and he upgraded his gear. In just that 2 years alone, the availability of high quality gear has become so affordable that it's insane. Like the Rode Procaster all in one setup.
Yeah.
I have Rode everything, but I bought it a la carte. I have a set of Rode lavaliers and I have a set of Rode personal recorders, but the new Rodes are lavaliers and personal recorders. I could have saved twice the money. But you know, like this is the arrows that the pioneers take in the back, right? Is like I needed the best equipment then, so I bought it then. In today's world, it's all about sort of like all-in-one-ization, right? Because everyone's traveling. So it's like mobility. So Rode made a system that you could put in a suitcase, a small suitcase and a backpack and just take with you. And it's it's the same quality audio-ish that you're going to hear out of this microphone and my separate mixer. So it's easier now than it's ever been.
Oh yeah. And I was funny enough, before this call, I was on with Paddy from Restream. And
cool.
I literally was just with him, literally just in a WhatsApp group at the moment. But he was talking about that. We were talking about StreamYard and Restream and chatting about how, like he was saying, what do I use for podcasting? And I said, I use StreamYard. So he's trying to convert me, is what he's trying to do.
As he should. So Restream is incredible.
Well, that's what he's saying, but that's what to highlight what you're saying there is like, and that's what we were chatting about in this kind of stream, as I was saying, the software alone, just using something like Restream or StreamYard can give you, if you know a little bit about, you know, you can get someone on Fiverr to do some work for you or whatever, you get an intro, an outro, some logos, some banners, you can make a semi-decent YouTube video and live show from your phone or from your crappy i3 processing computer. Like it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, obviously that's not what you do. It's not what I would do, but the barrier to entry is so low.
Though there is, and we do it, right? Cause Restream is a sponsor. And so when we do the Restream show, we execute that show with Restream as the primary fueler of the content. What that means is, at the end of Restream, what these are dashboards that we're talking about here, or studios. And so you log into the studio and then the studio gives you a link. The studio splits the screen. The studio adds the PowerPoints and the images and all. So you don't have to have a fast computer anymore, right? And here's the thing is audiences are more forgiving on the quality of your video. Now, if you have better video, I'm using a Canon M6, which gives me a competitive advantage. So better video is a thing, but it's not like the only thing. Because at the end of the day, if you're a parenting coach and you have an unruly 14-year-old, you're less interested in the clarity of my video and more interested in the clarity of my message. Right. And this is the thing that like entrepreneurs have to get out of the way of is when my bathroom sink is leaking, I'm not interested in your camera or your microphone. I'm interested in like, how quickly can you get me from starting your video to stopping the water in my house? And this is a really powerful connection because LinkedIn doesn't have that, or Instagram doesn't have that connection per se. So like on Instagram, I might see a great recipe, right? Like I'm a big keto and health guy. Like I go in and out of vegan cleanses and stuff like this. And I just love living my life that way. But I'll go see a great recipe on Instagram. But what do? Best case scenario, I bookmark it. I don't put it down. I don't go to Instagram when I'm looking for it, when I'm in the kitchen cooking. Right. And that's, I think, important to notice. Now that's different for video and live video is YouTube is the place that I go when I'm looking to stop the bathroom sink or to coach my business to the next level or, you know, to buy this product or service. And so we have to take that approach and speaking to that person in our live videos and live video just takes away the barriers. You just get up and go and talk about it once a week, every Monday, and you'll develop an audience there.
I think that's something that like why I gravitated, and it's interesting because I have a lot of people, I'm in the UK. So you guys in the US are so much further ahead than us anyway on what you do in regards to content, in regards to like anything, to be fair, like the idea of personal branding coach here, people still go, what was that?
Really? Wow.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why most of my guests have moved into the US, but it's one of those things where, it was interesting because I have always believed that live stream is where it can be because of the barrier to entry, like you say, but you are very, obviously you've got the clients you work with and the people you do. So there are more, but there are not many at that level or the level that you are, the level that Laurie are where who are still doing it. And I think who are pioneering it at that kind of front, because I think still people still think you need to have the high quality edits. And I think that's something that I think what I love what you just said then about it's information. You know, if you answer the question, and I've got a good friend of mine, he's a mortgage advisor here, and he has a mortgage advisor channel, and he does really well.
Yeah.
But he's obsessed with Think Media. Like, he's obsessed with them. So,
Sean's a great guy.
Yeah. I'm going to try and get Sean on. I'm going to get him on. But I think he's obsessed with Think Media.
And they're so Alex, polished. Think Media is extremely polished.
Well, Alex, my guy, and he's been on the show, he's mortgage advisor, and he's the top ranked mortgage advisor on YouTube for his thing in the UK.
Great.
But if you watch him, it's like watching Think Media. And I said to him, I said, mate, you were such an overkill. He's got everything. It's like watching one of like Nick's. And that's where I think sometimes people misunderstand that is the information is more important than the display and, to a point.
I think you're right 100%. I also think that if technical perfection or technical prowess is a passion for you, then it's a competitive advantage for you, you know, because people will think of it more like a show. I think it's also going to open the door to charge higher prices because you have a slicker looking design and people are like, oh, well, I'm going to work with this guy. So that's okay too. You know, like me, I come from I've had a video camera in my hand since I was about 9 years old, you know, and every class I ever took was about speech and theater and drama. And I was in singing, like, I did some athletics, you know, for sure. But most of my like young life. And then when I graduated high school, you know, I went into community theater. I got a job waiting tables and going into sales and cause I wanted to use my personality and I would make sales in a British accent and all these different things. So when my life fell apart in 2008, I decided to go on to YouTube because that's where all my talent lies. My sales training got me into the business side. So here's the point of all that is I've always had a production talent and it's made me number one in the business. But here's the thing, my client, I'm going to use Brian White. Brian, I'm so sorry. Brian has been in my program. Let's say within his first 60 days of my program, Brian could just like not get a pre-recorded video up. He just couldn't do it. So we went live Okay. And so he's going live for about 30 minutes. No one's logging in. And so he has to go live going like, hey, welcome everybody. And there's like nobody there, you know? So he's doing this and he's like, Owen, are you sure? Owen, are you sure? And I'm like, you know, trust me. By the end of January 2021, he had closed $90,000 in commission, $4 million in sales from these live streams that he, and he didn't do many. He did a couple of them, but it was the right content. It was not like his camera was wonky. It was a Zoom green screen like background. But when these people were snowbirds moving to Texas, they saw his videos. It was perfect for them. $4 million house sold. Yeah. Boom.
100%. Like that. You echo. It's interesting because I had a conversation with a client about this Tuesday when I'm recording this. We're on Friday, so on Tuesday. This was the thing, and you would get this because we were talking about kind of off air about how I engage with your lives on LinkedIn. Now,
yeah,
I was saying to my client, he's pretty much, I hate the term influencers. I just don't like that term because unless you're going to make money from it, it depends. It's a different type of business model, but sure. It's a hard model to make, you know, it's a hard thing to do. And my client, she's a LinkedIn influencer and she does incredibly well on LinkedIn and that. But we were joking. I said to her, I said, look at my lives. I said, I go live every day. She said, yeah. I said, I'll be lucky if I get 10 people like it and maybe 3 comments. I said, on the day that it happened, I said, my name's Ash. And the woman said, great live stream, Alex. So I said, you know, that's a good start. And she,
oh no.
She gets hundreds and hundreds of likes and loads of comments and loads of people sharing. You're amazing. And I said, what you don't realize is that from that live stream, I got 4 people booked on to my call. There I closed 3 people of that. And that's what you're saying there, which is I love, is it's not about being great. It's about what you're creating the content for. And that's what she said. She was like, oh, I didn't realize that. I was like, exactly. I said, don't judge. I said, it's soul destroying and you'll get this from live. It's worse. There's nothing worse than that feeling when you look and there's zero.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
But you're not making it for that, are you? You're making it forever.
And you have to keep that in mind. You know, we're a platform people purpose, the P3 content strategy, right? It's like, what platform are you putting this piece of content on right now? Right? Because you could multi-purpose for YouTube and for LinkedIn but you got to ask yourself right now, where am I posting?
Yeah.
And then post to that platform. The people, who are the people? We've talked a lot about that today. And then the purpose. What is the purpose of this live stream today? You know, sometimes the purpose is to celebrate the community. We've done plenty of shows. You know, I had a show for a year with a guy named Scott Ayers over at Agora Pulse, and they are phenomenal. In fact, we're still very close with them, and we do a lot of stuff together. But we created a show for their software. And this show was great. Well, we would have 300 viewers on from time. This is like the heyday of Facebook Live, and the show received the opening speech of social media marketing world that year was our show, and it was a surprise for us. It was great to see. We did a show where we created like a family feud scenario out of it's an American talk show. Out of a PowerPoint slide. And so we show the power, and you actually click a thing, and then the would turn over and say $500 or whatever.
Oh, okay. I know the show. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so we had 8 guests on. We had, I think we called it it was girls versus guys, but we said it in a fun way that I think would be non-offensive to some of the people that get offended really easily, right? Like, you know what I mean? So I forget what we called it. It was like the queenies versus the meanies. And it was like the queens of social media against us, like, us guys. And it was so much fun. But that whole show was to just have fun with the community, give them a Monday off. Like, so many of that audience was social media managers, either working at home or working in an office before COVID. And we just wanted to give them like a week off. Just log in and have fun, laugh with us, and be part of our success with us. And it wasn't to drive people to new Agora Pulse memberships. Now, we did have shows that were designed to drive people to Agora Pulse memberships and other shows that were designed to drive us to drive people to the Facebook group. We had different purpose for different shows, but it's important to know what that is and then like aspire towards that, because you could be doing shows, and we're doing this right now in our own company, is you could be doing live shows just to get the content out, and then you're embedding that into a blog that you are going to rank over the course of the next year, right? Because you want more traffic to your website. And that's I think, a solid use of live stream to grow your business.
No, it's absolutely. I mean, we could talk about live stream forever. One thing, because I just want to make sure, because we don't, because I'm looking at time, because it's a good thing for us. We're just going to vibe over it the whole time, because it is like going, yes, finally, someone gets it.
Yeah.
But one thing that strikes me about you, something that you're very vocal about, and it's one of the reasons why I want to make sure, there's two things I want to talk about: TikTok, I want to talk about brand deals before we kind of wrap this up. Great. That's the two things.
Yeah, those are big.
The first one is brand deals. And the reason why is, You are the king of brand deals. Every time I watch it up, you are, that's what you know. That is definitely, obviously, you know lots of stuff, but as an outsider watching in, I keep seeing going, okay, this guy gets brands. He gets how people can do it. So one thing you said, which I like, and I want you to kind of dive into it a little bit more, is how people can land brand deals.
Yeah.
No matter what their size, and some mistakes they make and some things they're doing wrong. Cause I know I could probably just say what it is, cause I know, so I want you to take the floor, but
yeah, I mean, so a brand deal or a channel sponsorship is when a company of any size gives you money to make videos about them or for them. And that's the general sort of concept. The challenge that I think a lot of video creators, right? So I think that our audience is like a mission-driven entrepreneur, seven-figure entrepreneur. And that's different than an accountant who works for a company and has a channel on woodworking that he does when he comes home, or the work at home mom who uploads vlogs about baby food, natural baby food. Those are what I would call video creators, you know, and that's different. Now, video creators are typically the ones that get brand deals, right? And the whole idea is that, like, if you're a guy who does a woodworking channel on the weekends, maybe like an oil company calls you and is like, hey, I'll give you like $30 of our oil for free if you make 1,000 videos about us. And they, oh, wow, free oil, you know, and it's that you're so happy. You feel like a celebrity. Now, there are bigger brand deals where like Disney calls you up and is like, hey, we're going to fly you out to Disney World, your whole family. We want you to make 7 videos while you're here. We're going to have 18 other vloggers here. It's a whole big PR thing. Like, that's also a brand deal. So this is the thing, is that entrepreneurs like us, people with companies, we could get brand deals right now walking in with zero video made and no views on anything, because we're business people and we have lists and marketing plans and longevity, right? Whereas a brand doesn't know if a video creator is even going to be around next year. You know, when you're in business, you have a whole different thing going on. And so we want our clients to begin making videos so that they can reach out to their vendors, partners, softwares, apps, anyone, with a very simple process and say, would you like to talk about a brand deal? So that's the concept. And here's the first step, is identifying those companies that you work with. For example, I'm building a health and wellness app, right? Or a health and wellness podcast right now. And this is sort of like an investment for me, right? Like we're like a partial owner in the project. So we have zero views. The doctor who's behind this, he's a legit doctor, and he barely has a website. You know what I mean? There's not this huge audience. Who, I don't care. I reached out to the app that I use to track my macros, to track my health. And I said, hey, like we are launching this podcast. Would you guys be interested in like talking about a sponsorship? Then the conversation was, absolutely, we'd love to talk about it. You know, this is the thing, is that your vendors, your software company, all these people you work with, I've mentioned it, they're sitting around in their desks at their company meetings every month going like, how do we leverage YouTube? How do we get involved in influencer marketing? Does anyone know anybody that can help us with this? When you're the company that goes out and says, I'm launching a YouTube channel, I'm going to do 12 videos. I will make, you know, 6 of those videos about your software. You know, how to do X for your taxes, how to do Y for your taxes, or how to do Z for your taxes, whatever. Put an affiliate link in the bottom. You're making money off the affiliate link. Plus you charge them, you know, $5,000, $1,000 a video. There's no way they're going to get a video made for themselves for under $1,000. It's going to cost them, if they were to hire a videographer to make them a commercial, right? The commercial would cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to run on television or radio or even the internet, wherever you're going to go. Plus, it would take $5,000 to even make one video commercial. So you're like, I'll do five videos, $5,000, put an affiliate link, and I'll email you out to my list. You know, like that's a good, plus they can take those videos and embed them now and share them. And so brand deals are huge, and it starts with making a list of vendors. Biggest mistake that my clients will make when they start making their list is they put Mattel, Johnson & Johnson, you know, Apple, GoPro, you know, like, come on, go to your Chamber of Commerce and look at your top 20 people. Those are going to be, have them sponsor your next videos, right? Talk to them about sponsoring your next videos, and go to the videomarketingschool.com for training on how to do that.
Oh no, we'll put it in the thing because that's what it was. That's what you'd, when I was, I'll put it all in the links because that was what stuck with me. When I was listening to you talking and you were saying they make the mistake of going for too big.
Yeah.
And they don't actually think, and it really does, you know, it got me thinking about the stuff I was doing because I hadn't really reached to anyone. And I was like, wait a minute. And it's funny. I was like, wait a minute, maybe I should, so like AppSumo, for example, you know, AppSumo. And I was like,
yeah.
I get emails from AppSumo all the time saying, do you know you're in our number one, top percent, 1% of our affiliate program? Well, I'll reach out to them then. I've never done that before. Oh, well, it's the same. And it was from what listening to you. And it's really interesting. And it's funny because the reason why I like it is what you're saying there about the reaching out, and they're sat there going, how can I do it? I was talking to somebody recently saying, there was like, how do I get guests on the show? And I've got some amazing guests like yourself on the show. And I said, if you reach out, most of these people will say yes.
Yeah. You know, but like, and here's the thing, you know what, we have like a process for whose show we agree to be on. And it's basically like, did we like them? You know, and that's it. Cause I get random people reaching out.
They will do.
Like, hey, I'd love to have you on my show or on having this show. And I don't, it's like I'm saying no, I don't even know you. So like, I kind of skip through the message, and my marketer is like, you know, I have somebody else read my mail, and she's like, do you know this person? I don't. So we just skip it. It never comes up. But it's like Ash Borland kept coming up. Ash is like, I like that guy. Let's make sure to get me on his show. So, you know, here's the thing. It's reaching out and reaching out again. You know, like I reached out to this app one time and they responded to me. I reached out to another company, and it was the same exact scenario where it was a hair care product. And I'm like, I just reached out to them. I didn't even have an offer for them yet. I was just like, cause in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to have to do this a couple times. Right. Yeah. Cause chances are if it's a big company, there's two or three people managing their social media in shifts. And if you just like engage in the tweets, engage in the Instagram, engage on the Facebook posts, like those three people will get familiar with your name and you'll be part of the meetings. Right. And that's a good place to be. If in almost every case, if you follow the Chamber of Commerce, like road, it's one person and it's probably the boss's wife, you know? So like just reach out to them and be like, hey, have you guys ever thought about working with influencers? I wouldn't say doing a brand deal. I would say like, have you ever thought about collaborating with an influencer? We go to our website. We have like opt-ins and things you can get. That's like email templates. Yeah. But like you speak the language that they're speaking. It's like influencer campaigns. Look, I like the word influencer. And the reason I like it is because it's malleable, right? Because here's the thing is I would consider myself a YouTube influencer. Yeah. But I'm not a million subscriber YouTube influencer. I would consider myself a live stream influencer. I'd consider myself maybe a cancer influencer. I'm a cancer survivor and I do blog about that topic and talk about that. But let's just say cancer influencer. That's a term that doesn't even really exist, right? Like who's ever heard of that? But like when my wife and I beat cancer, we're like, let's turn this into a thing. Now, again, investment, future project. But influencer doesn't matter the size, matters the expertise, right? So like you might think like I own a local karate studio in a small town. I'm not an influencer of anything. That's garbage. You are a martial arts influencer, right? You could also say, I would say that any business that has a storefront is a local influencer. And so again, this term, what it does is it like, if you think of yourself and draw a circle around yourself, right? Like on a piece of paper. And inside that circle are the people that you have the most influence over. That is who you are an influencer of, right? You're an, and maybe you're a church influencer even. Maybe you're like a Boy Scout influencer in some way, shape, or form. Like maybe you're a lawyer and you do Boy Scout stuff on the side and we'll know you for that. Like run with that, you know, and become an influencer in your space.
But I love that because that's what people don't, you know, like now moving out to where I am now, like I'm a personal brand coach and I work with people all over. But how I started in this, so silly, you talk about this as a, like you're so right. And I love what you say about local. Every person is an influencer in their own space. I made videos as a mortgage advisor. I was a mortgage advisor and I had a technical background like you have yourself. And I was an actor, so I liked performance. So I gained a following from other mortgage advisors. When I swapped over, what made it a viable entrepreneurial move was, wait a minute, I've got a network of people who think I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
They went on YouTube, they went anywhere else, but actually they'd pay. Now you move away from that. But what people don't realize is they go, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to go this whole new avenue and all those people are not going to pay me. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I love, and I agree with you on the influencer term. I don't like the term influencer. Only one, the only term I don't like is that people can confuse it. So I love what you've just said. That is the what I would define as an influencer. What I don't like is people think attractive people on Instagram.
Yeah, I think that you should confuse it. Like I'm sort of a chaotician. And here's the thing is like, go ahead. It's like jujitsu, right? Like use the word for your, like you turn it against them. And it's, I had to like turn it against someone, but like the whole idea, I respect and agree that I myself am an influencer and I hang in influencer circles. If there's no, like, I like that. Right. So there's certainly a personal.
It's nice.
Yeah. But I also see others and I see that you influence a different, perhaps smaller circle. It doesn't make you not an influencer. I totally get what you mean by like the beautiful people. And that's what I love about the internet is that like, you know, the variety of people that we see. You know, one of my mentors is a paraplegic, and I would consider him like a chiropractic influencer, very much behind the scenes. But I'll tell you, like, he a much bigger company than me. You know what I mean? Like, but it's all a little bit different. So use it to your advantage.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So I'm looking at time, make sure we get too much, but I want to say one thing quickly with this. We're going to talk a bit about TikTok because you spoke about it before we jumped
good,
on.
Yeah, good.
You're saying like that you enjoy it. So I thought, well, I want to make sure we cover it because it's obviously something you're getting a lot of fun out of. Talk me through what you like about TikTok. Cause I've had a TikTok coach on here. Ginger Marketer is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Josh Moore. He's a very good friend of mine. And he bangs on about it all the time, but you are the second person we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Who isn't, you know, who's doing it as someone who is actually, Josh has built his following on there. You know, you've already got a big following. You already influenced somewhere else. You've moved across. What do you like about TikTok? Where's your just kind of thoughts with it really?
So let's make it really clear. Like I'm a sort of a business influencer in my life. My TikTok channel is comedy. It is entertainment for families. And that's where I get that. That's where I'm sort of proud of the work that we've done is because it's not like I took my influence in the business world and then transferred it to TikTok, which is fine. Yeah. I went into a whole new space and I've developed so far 225,000 subscribers. We have, millions and millions of views on our videos. And it's the biggest thing that I've ever done in terms of like my like writing and comedy talent, right? Yeah. So it is very different. I'm proud of that. That's how it started is that I, you know, worked myself into cancer, and that's a different story, but I worked myself into cancer and then I had to work myself out of cancer. When I came out of that journey, what I needed was an outlet. I needed somewhere to like discover me and be. And so for me, it was writing comedy. And in fact, when I was in high school, I was in a sketch comedy group called the Pentaveret. And even for those of you that even get that joke, what the Pentaveret is, like that goes deep into like 90s comedy circles. You know what I mean? And so like, I when I left high school, that's what I wanted to do is go to Hollywood and be an actor. And then I found out you had to do like theater and I didn't really like theater. I don't want to like dance. I wanted just like comedy, you know? So, you get into restaurants and you, so it's the whole journey there, but my point is that like I have jokes inside me that I want to write. And so it became an outlet for me. What happened was we blew the heck up. And I blew up with some friends and other people. Like one of my friends, Naomi, is a ghost writer. She's in the business world. Her TikTok is blowing up. I've got another friend who is a pro golfer. But what he does on his channel, on his TikTok channel, is he hits things with golf clubs. And that's blowing up, you know? So I just love seeing TikTok being non-traditional and making regular people celebrities.
Yeah.
Quick connection to live streaming. Live streaming does the same thing, right? Like when you have a live stream show and you invite like the Chamber of Commerce guy to come on your show, you make that guy feel like a celebrity.
Absolutely.
Right. And TikTok does the same thing because what they do is it's like these very, very short videos. So the whole idea is the shorter you make them, the better. And if they can get 7 seconds, if you can get a 7 second video up there that has some type of reward on it, like a joke or like a tip or even an emotion, like, oh, that made me feel good. My buddy is telling sad stories on his very, very quickly. And he's got tears in his eyes. I really love what he's doing. But he ends on a motivational note. These are 20 seconds and he's doing very well with that. If you can deliver a short video that has a reward, TikTok will get that out to hundreds of thousands of people and you instantly become this celebrity. Now, doing that over and over again is where talent and discipline come into play. Yeah. But if you just upload content there, I think that even a broken clock gets lucky twice a day. I think that you'll land on something that works and then you just do that again.
It's the reason why I ask is you're one of the I saw your TikToks. Funnily enough, I was watching them when you came on. That's what we were like laughing about.
Busted.
It was. I like TikTok, and me in our house, me and my wife, that is our kind of thing. You know, like we enjoy it.
End of the night type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just kind of we'll sit and we'll my son's asleep. We'll scroll and it's funny and we'll laugh and whatever's going on.
You share it with each other. You share it with each other.
Look at this.
Same thing. Same thing.
It's a brilliant thing, and what I like about it is that it's kind of a level playing field. That's what I've really enjoyed about it, is that this level playing field. But one thing I'm finding really interesting about it is how many people have poo-pooed it and gone, no, it's rubbish. And then all of these big platforms start rolling out short form vertical content because consumer behavior doesn't lie.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very interesting thing to watch. I've watched, and you would have seen yourself, I've had friends who literally were marketers here in the UK.
Yeah.
And now they've left their job.
Yeah.
And they're full-time coaches in that platform. You know, literally Bella Porch, whatever her name is, just literally did a music video that dropped today.
That's great.
And, you know, 10 million subscribers. It's insane. So it's making
that stuff.
It's incredible.
I love that stuff. Now, here's the thing, is that there is an international war going on. I have been covering this since it came out. In fact, I did several local spots on our local news about it. TikTok has the potential to be a dangerous app, you know? And because of that, like, so the former U.S. president didn't quite ban it, but put restrictions into its operation. And I felt like that was a very, very good move. The next president undid that, which I think puts our data at risk.
Yeah.
A great neutralizer to that is the emergence of Reels on Instagram and Shorts on YouTube. So TikTok does have this international play that I think that we should be aware of. Yeah. That being said, what our approach is that I want to have a good, like, TikTok's great. But if it gets like nicked and banned, then or there's a big movement against it. Let's say we find out that there's like some real like data's going over there, right? Data's going to China, whatever. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be able to stop, go to Reels, and have a platform there.
Yes.
So we see here how competition in the marketplace, you know, relieves stress that can go deeper than we want to talk about. You know, in marketing circles, like it's you don't really want to get political, and I get this. People say, "Oh, you should be. Everything should be political." And usually, those people have no one around them. political all the time, you know what I mean? And like just killing the mood. That's why I'm trying not to mention names. I don't want, like drop.
I get you. I know you mean.
But here's the thing: almost everybody that I talk to, because I'm a TikTok advocate. So I go to house parties and friends' houses, and we go like, hey, get TikTok. You guys should go see my TikToks. Oh, I heard this. Get it on your phone. You can use it. Trust me. Like, but I'll let you know if there's, you know, I'm not trying to mislead you just so I get a couple views here. So I'm an advocate for it, but almost everybody I talk to brings up these security risks. And so I think it's important that we're versed in that. But the answer isn't the problem, right? It's like producing short form vertical content.
Because that's the future, isn't it?
Go anywhere. Well, I think it's
part of
now. And I think it's going to be, a thing in the future. Because, like, look, I barely, if it's widescreen, I don't flip my phone around. I watch it later, you know, or I watch it small for a few seconds until I get bored with it. I simply don't watch a lot of widescreen video on my vertical device, but I watch vertical. I don't want to turn my phone around. I'm going to drop it. Whatever. So, I do think it's going to be a part of the culture.
I don't even watch a lot. I live on YouTube.
Yeah.
I just listen.
That's good.
So your videos and stuff, like, you've got great video, which I'll link in here, about dissecting TikTok. You did one recently, and it was like your views of the one with the sled. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
But I'll put it in the links when we do this. But it's one of those where I don't actually watch. I just listen because I'm a podcaster, because I'm with you on that. Like, if I've got to hold my phone, I'll do it while I'll have it going off on the screen in the back here.
100%.
And I'll work and I'll just let it play.
I think that that's a good percentage of YouTube viewers, you know, and that's why we use what we call video branding elements in our videos, where you use a bell ding or a buzzer to sort of like bring the viewer back in. And we do that. We it's very Pavlovian, right? Like, we use that bell when we have a screen share up to get them to look and remind them that there's a visual component. I don't need them to look at me the whole time. I feel like that's actually a real challenge in keeping watch time on your video. But if you can like make a video that's passive, and then put in some of these tricks like ding that tells your viewer, and they can make the choice, right? They hear the ding and they go, okay, Owen's showing something that maybe I should look at right now. Right. And then maybe you can go to look at it, or you can remember, oh, well, Owen's got some visuals. I'll come back to this video later. But passive video viewing is, I think most of the challenge. And that's why we focus a lot on audio and making sure that you're it sounds good when it plays as well.
Well, that's something that's, and we'll run it off soon, but it's really interesting because that's something that I actually put a poll out on LinkedIn, which is where my main platform kind of was. I do want to make a play really for YouTube now. That's the goal, because it's the smart place to be from a long-term kind of longevity, like we're talking about the Alexa at the beginning. But the reality is, I put a poll out, as I'm a podcaster, you know, and I said, like, how many people watch their podcast? Now, I actually have found, since having the studio built since COVID, you know, when you kind of relocate, that I was like, actually, I watch my podcasts. I don't listen to them anymore. I watch them. But I don't watch them. I have it going on in the background. I put the poll out on LinkedIn thinking I must be alone. And it was 50-50 split.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And then I thought, actually, wait a minute. And I thought, my parents know how to use YouTube, but they don't know what a podcast is. So, well, straight away, I thought, actually, I need to probably upload, because people, when I speak to YouTube experts, they're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Watch time. It's about that. And I thought, actually, I think there's quite a lot of people. If I'm doing it, then other people will be doing it.
Yeah. And you've got audible learners, you've got visual learners, you've got kinesthetic learners. You know, when you know that, and you can create videos towards that, especially when you know who you're trying to attract, you know, and if you're trying to attract an audible learner, an audio listener, then I would put an emphasis in your video on the audio. Yeah. Because it's almost like Morse code. It's almost like, it's the same way that I'm wearing a Nirvana shirt today, right? Like, it's Friday, it's casual Friday. But I also get to kind of speak to my audience in a certain way. Like, I'm like, hey, if you're into like 90s rock, then truth be told, I'm actually much, much more of a hip hop guy. But here's the thing. There's like, there's not a lot of Biggie Small shirts at Target. So, you know, like, you're limited anyway, but the whole idea is like, what I wear this kind of thing on podcasts versus my training videos to speak to my audience in a visual way. And you can do the same thing with audio. And there's ASMR is a great way to do that, but there's just other, you know, look into that. It's a great way to make content.
I love it. Owen, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm looking at the time. If people want to connect with you, they want to work with you, where can they go? I mean, you've got tons of valuable resources on your website, which you've linked all the way through, so we'll put them in the show. Where's the best place to connect?
Go to thevideomarketingschool.com, or even better is makeyoutubeeasy.com if you want to learn more about how to work with me directly and my coaching team for growing a YouTube channel. But follow me anywhere on the web at Owen Video. Watch our stuff on YouTube. And if you want to engage, like engage with me on Instagram, that's the best place to get like some back and forth.
That's where me and you spoke. So yeah, absolutely. It's good. Anyway, oh man, I'm going to run the outro out. Thank you so much, mate. It's been a real pleasure.